Well, you guys ready? Are you what the Word of God says you are?
Yeah.
Okay, I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor on my life. How about in Spanish? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. I've got it backwards. Let's do the third one. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. You guys are great. Today I want to teach on the hoper. The hoper versus the believer. You know what hope is, and you know what believing is, and so they are in contrast to each other. In fact, hope and believing are at combat with each other. They're at war with each other. Now, I know you've probably never thought about it in that light. But they together have a very strange combat. Today I want to bring those two entities to the forefront and give life to them. I want you to see the life that both believing and hope have. You're aware of the laws of nature. Many of you even understand that there's a such thing called the law of gravity. You know the law of the rain shining, or the rain falling on the just and the unjust alike, the law of the sun coming up in the east and setting in the west every day without fail. You know the laws of the stars and the planets shimmering their light back to earth. You know the laws of the waves and the laws of kindness and the laws of love and the laws of the universe. You're all aware of those. They all have life. They all have a purpose. And they all come together for the common good of man. Well, so too do believing and hope. They both have life. They are spiritual laws given to man for the betterment of mankind and for the efficacy of the Christian believer. Hope is the most beautiful child of the senses. Hope is what keeps you alive. Hope is what keeps your mind into the future, where you're hoping for the things that could be one day. Hope is the most beautiful child of the senses. But the unthinking have often mistaken it for believing. And that's what we want to learn about today. We never want to fall prey to that mistake, to where we replace believing with hope, because they're never to be replaced with each other. Life requires believing, and life requires hope. But if you need things today, it requires believing. If it's something in the future, it requires hope. Whereas if you're needing something today and you're using hope for it, you're guaranteed failure. Believing brings success to now. And hope brings success to the future. And that is their design. So believing is always now. Always and ever. And hope is always future. Always and ever. Heretofore, you probably have never made believing and hope tangible. You've probably never given them life so that they start to sprout up and take charge. You've probably never given them dominion where they need to reign. But today we'd like to change that. Wouldn't you like to give believing dominion in the places it needs it? And wouldn't you like to give hope dominion in its own areas but never allowing a combat where one would reign where it shouldn't be. Well, that's what we want to do today. I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 4. Abraham provides us with a great example of changing hope into believing, and that is going to be your battle. Your battle, because hope and believing are at combat with each other in the spiritual realm, seeking dominion. They're alive. They're ever present. They're ever available. They're completely tangible. In a sense, one is substance and another is empty clouds, but they're there. And your battle is going to be to change hope into believing when and where you need it. To learn that you can change hope into believing. And to do it. And this was Abraham's challenge. And it's exactly what he did. In verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Believing is a creative force. Believing's a builder. Believing's the engineer behind the scenes. Believing's the laborer. Who against hope believed in hope. Oh, he believed in hope. He believed the promise. Against hope, though, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. The hope of so shall thy seed be had been given to him already. But he had to change that hope one day when he was about 100 years old and Sarah was about 90. He had to change that hope of one day seeing that son of his into believing. So against hope, he believed. Well, hope had been there. Hope had carried him for years. But then he had to stop hoping. The hoping was over. No more need for hoping. It was time to believe. And here you see that strange combat in Romans chapter 8, or chapter 4, verse 18. But hope lost here. Hope lost here, and believing dominated. Believing was given dominion. Hope and believing are live spiritual entities. They're alive. Oh, I know what you think. I can't see them. I can see my hands. I can see my money. I can see my house. I can see my school books. I can see all of that. So I'll believe in that, but if I can't see it, is it really there? Well, I'd like to tell you, it is there. Can you see the law of gravity? Can you see that hand reach up and pull that apple off the tree? No, you can't. But do you believe it? Well, yes, you do. Believing and hope can be given the same onus. You can believe in hope. You can believe in love that they're there. And you can use them. You can grasp them. You can attach your life to them. And you can see them manifest themselves. That's your choice. Abraham did. For years he hoped. And then one day, against hope, he put it to the side. He believed. So shall thy seed be. That's that strange combat. Someday you'll hope for something, but then you'll say, it's time. And if you can bring it, you will. You can't control the great hope. You just hope for that. But you believe the word. God wants believers. He wants believers. All of His word brings man to one point, to believe. All of His word brings man to one point, to become a believer. He doesn't want man to be a hoper. He doesn't want man to just live his life hoping, from hope to hope to hope. But most people only do that. They're just hoping. And so they go from one empty situation to another. Because hope is always future. It's always future. For instance, if you hope for healing, the undertaker's probably going to have a job to do. Because hope is always future. The Bible says believe. You believe. And believing is now. So believing brings it to pass. But hope never does. Hope never brings anything to pass. A hope's a wonderful emotion. It fills the senses. It excites your every emotion. But it never is now. It's always future. Romans chapter 8. So we learn that Abraham counted the thing for which he had hoped for to be his own. And that's what you have to do. We're going to go to verse 24. You have to count the thing that's promised to be your own. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. If it's now, it's no longer hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? You don't hope for anything you see. But what about the promises of God? Don't you see those? His word? What about the promises of God? They're there for you. They're given to you. You don't hope for those. All of His promises, you don't hope for those. They're there. They're already given. Hebrews chapter 11. You know this one. We've spent much time in this verse over the years. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 1 says, now faith, and that means believing, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Believing, another way to say this, is the title deed. It's the proof you have them. It's the evidence that they're yours before you have them. Believing is now. Hope is in the future. So believing is action. And believing gives substance to what you're hoping for. So believing is substantial, and I've taught you this before. It's substantial. It's bringing into the present tense those things that are in the future for us. So we can see that hope is never now. And I'm drilling this. This is what I want you to know. I don't want you sitting around hoping for things. That's not the lifestyle of a believer. Oh, I hope that I get healed. I hope I can go on that trip. I hope that I have enough money. No, you don't do that. My wife and I deliberately practice believing. We have done this for years, where we simply go out and grasp the thing that's ours, and it's there. That's what we always do. We don't sit around and hope. We don't talk like that. We've never talked like that. Oh, I hope that one day we could do that. I hope that one day we could have a bigger house. We don't talk like that. We talk like we're going to get a bigger house. When? We talk like, we need another car. When are we going to take it? When are we going to get it? We've always been like that. We always go out and grasp it and it comes in. Because it's always there. That's believing. We're not hopers. Oh, we hope for the return of Jesus Christ. And that's perhaps one of our greatest strengths. But we're not hopers. We're believers. And the Word focuses into your life to make you a believer. Because God wants believers. They had to believe to enter into that promised land. They had to believe. And for years they hoped. But they kept hoping. And they never got in. Not that 40 years. They had to go another 40. Because God wanted believers. He wants believers. Are you a hoper? Or are you a believer? Well, that's an interesting question. You know about investments. The man that invests in stocks hopes for a gain in the future. He's a good hoper. In fact, investors can dangerously live a life of hoping instead of believing. The man that invests in land hopes for an advantage someday, gain on that land. He's a hoper. It's all future. It's all down the road. Hope has no present tense blessing. Absolutely none. The hoper lives on hope. It's like an addiction. He goes from one hope to the next. Well, with the Word, he loves the Word. He admires the Word, but it's not acted upon. And this is a problem. Because you can be a hoper and love God's Word. You can be a hoper and admire God's Word. And if you are a hoper, you don't act on it. So you have all the good talk, but no action. That's a hoper. Because hope is never present tense. Never. So there's no action and success coming out of the Word. The hoper is merely an assenter to the Word. He assents to it. Oh, he'll walk up and touch it, and he'll even embrace it. No problem there. He admires it. He knows it's even true. He'll suffer for his convictions of the utter truthfulness of what I'm saying, but he does not act upon the Word. He doesn't act on it. That's a hoper. Well, many Bible teachers are like this. They're mere hopers or assenters of the Word. They're great people, but they've never enjoyed the reality that the Word belongs to them. They've never enjoyed that because they're always hoping. Many of them act on their creed. They act on their inspirations, but they don't act on the Word. And that's a major problem in Christianity today. And you know what? All the time, they think they're believers. They call themselves believers. But they never act on the Word. Because believing is acting. You need to understand that a believer is a possessor. He's a possessor. He's a possessor of things. A hoper doesn't have anything. A believer does. A believer is a possessor. Well, you know, he that believeth shall have eternal life. Whosoever shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that whatsoever things he says shall come to pass, he shall have. He's a possessor. He shall have whatever he says. Says? Yeah, that's mine. That's right. You take what's yours. Nothing wrong with that. If I set out a buffet and invited you, take whatever you'd like. Well, you'd go up there and take. You'd take a steak. You take a baked potato. You take a big piece of cheesecake. You take a good old German Weissbier. You take it. You wouldn't quibble. You wouldn't beg. You wouldn't pray. You'd take it. Did I miss something? Oh, my son is aspiring. It's okay. 8 years, Jeremy. But you take it. You take it. No quibbling. If I gave you a gift certificate to a store, you'd go in and take the things you wanted and go up to the cashier and give those things with the card to the cashier. And then you'd take them out of the store. There'd be no quibbling. You'd take them. A believer is a possessor. He that hopes has not yet arrived. He is not a possessor. The hoper may possess sometimes, but never now. Never now. And that's the big difference. Now is the time to possess. The hoper is a present tense failure as far as receiving the realities of the word now. He may be a beautiful failure, but he's a failure. And God doesn't want you to be a failure. He wants you to be successful. And he wants you to be a believer. So you must understand this battle. This hoper fails in the midst of rosy hopes. Oh, the hopes are exciting. They're wonderful. They smell good. They look good. They seem good. They're so rosy. But he fails in the midst of them. The fragrance of dead hopes seal the air. He fails because he only hopes. Abraham believed in spite of hope. Are you guys, go back to Romans 4. But you know what he did? He brushed hope aside. He just brushed it aside. Oh, he had plenty of it, but he brushed it aside that day and grasped the thing that God had promised. In verse 19, and being not weak in faith in believing, he considered not his own body now dead. He didn't think any more about the senses stuff. He could have. If you were 100 years old and said, I want to have a baby, you'd probably give that old body some thought, huh? A lot of thought. Well, Abraham finally said, now's the time. He brushed hope aside. Maybe he'd wondered about it up till then. But then that day he said, nope, it's time to believe. And he no longer considered the senses. He no longer considered his body. Now dead, it says. When he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, sense knowledge wise, it wasn't possible for them to have children. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief will chop you off at the knees. Unbelief will make you feeble. Unbelief will make you quaver and shimmer and shake in the midst of your exploits to believe. It will underrule you. It will capsize the boat. It will cause you to go down in no small way. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. At some point in time, every believer gets to that place where they stop the unbelief. They stop it. They don't consider the senses. They become strong in believing because believing is a strength. It's a power and it seeks dominion. It seeks rulership. It's an entity that's alive in the spiritual realm, and it's given to every man, woman, and child who's born again. Its purpose is to give glory to God. The Word of God framed the earth, framed the worlds that are today. It was by the Word of God that the earth was framed, it says. And God believed. When He spoke, things happened. He used the same law of believing that you're given today. You have access to that same law, but you must see that you have access. You must use that law to your good, but especially to the glory of God. And when and where that spiritual law is enacted, it will always bring God glory. And so by you fulfilling your role as a Christian believer, you are literally glorifying your Father in heaven. That's how you do it. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. So the end of the matter is to be fully persuaded. You have to do something in your mind to not look at the senses. You have to do something in your mind to stagger not with unbelief. You have to do something in your mind to give glory to God, and you have to do something in your mind to be fully persuaded. That's your job. And you do this day in and day out with other things, making decisions of how much of this are you going to use? What of that are you going to use? What is going to be allowed into your body and not into your body at any given time? What will I bring into my family today or leave outside? What am I going to do in my job today or not do? You are always making choices, always making decisions, and this is no different. You have to make choices with spiritual laws just as well. So when will you start grasping the things that God has promised? That's your job. That's your right. That's your privilege. When will you start grasping to reach out and taking what God has already promised? In Romans 4:22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. It started the ball rolling, that old ball of righteousness. And it did nothing but roll downhill from there. Now, if Abraham wouldn't have started all that, it wouldn't have started rolling downhill. But he did, and here we are today. So, when you grasp what God has promised, it will be imputed unto you too. I didn't write this book. I'm just laying it out. But when Abraham got to that place that he was fully persuaded, then it was imputed to him. Then it was imputed. That's the lifestyle of a believer. You have to accept those challenges. And then they happen. In verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. God didn't just have this stuff written down so that Abraham could, you know, soak up the glory of having done what he did. But for us also, because God wants us to be masters of believing. He wants us to become fully persuaded. He wants us to glorify Him. So it was written for our sakes too. If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, that this is something that's available to Christians. Now, you can have the sense knowledge believing. I am not talking about that. I'm not talking about when you're sitting and you're grunting and groaning and trying to make something happen. I am talking about you tapping into a spiritual realm and accessing a law that was given to you to use. And instead of being a hoper, become a believer in everything that you do. Many people are in bondage to believing's most dangerous enemy.
That's right.
Well, hope is believing's most dangerous enemy. Because when you need to be believing, you don't need to be hoping. And it will derail you. It will knock you off your path. You've got to learn to believe when it's time to believe. To put hope aside. Hope gives you good feelings. It's all rosy and pretty. It just inundates the senses. But it's not what you need when you need success. When you need to receive, you need believing. And so believing is giving substance to that for which you vainly hoped. You know what substance is? It's real. It's real. You can touch it. You can see it. It's real. It's substantial. So believing gives the substance to whatever it was you were hoping for. I hope that this ends pretty fast. Now believe. Give it substance. And it ends. I hope that I have money. Now believe. And give it substance and the money's there. Guaranteed. I hope that I have more love in my life. Now believe. And that love is there. Now there's action required. Because believing is action. So don't expect to just sit there. Don't expect to just close your eyes and all of a sudden, voila, it appears. Abraham had to do something. What do you think Abraham had to do to have that baby? 100 years old, come on, Sarah! I'm telling you, God didn't create that seed in Sarah like He did in Mary. Somebody had to put that seed in Sarah. 100 years old and 90 years old? That's believing. And if you ever forget what believing is, think about Abraham and Sarah. Okay? Well, you learn this lesson with so many things in life. Doctor writes your prescription, take one pill a day. You go take 10 one day and end up in the hospital. You made the choice. You can use or misuse anything. You can misuse hope. I want you to understand that. I'm not speaking evil to you here, and I'm not asking you to put away the great hope. Okay? I've heard talk like that before, and I disagree with it. You gotta have the hope of Jesus Christ return alive in you. It ought to burn within you. But you gotta live your life too. And if you wanna live your life as a Christian, you're supposed to live it as a believer. Not a hoper. So you make your choices. You can use or misuse spiritual laws, and people do it every day. Most people are hopers. They misuse it all the time. Oh, they're fun to be around because they're always talking. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's always in the future, and it never changes. And they never bring into the present what they're saying. Believers do. You should be the most successful people on the face of this earth. Hands down. No exceptions. There's not one person in here that's an exception. You should become the most successful people in your job. In your relationships, in your health, in all of your life. Because God's called you to believe. He's called you to reach out and grasp perhaps the greatest law of all time, the law of believing, the law that substantiates every dream, every rationale, every reason, every thought that goes through the mind of man. Believing gives substance to your dreams, to your hopes, to your desires. Hope has no substance. It's an empty cloud. It just floats around, making you feel good, but it has no substance. Hope deludes the lost. It deludes the sick and the defeated. Oh, when you run into people that are always sick, always defeated, you know they're hopers. Just like that. Hopers. There's no believing there. You should be professional at isolating this, determining the cause of a problem such as this, and feeding in the solution so that once again, deliverance comes to life. Give them believing. Don't give them hope anymore. Give them believing. Oh, their hope is the fact that you walked in because you're salvation. Believing gave salvation. And you have it. So when you walk in, you're their salvation. You are their hope. But what you give them is believing. Teach them that. So that they stop that combat, that strange combat in the spiritual realm. And then believing has dominion. That's what you want. Speak it. You need to believe it. Be committed to it. And so there is no hope if the hoper remains a hoper. And now isn't that a paradox? There is no hope if the hoper remains a hoper. And prayer that is based on hope is sure to fail. Jesus said, believe. The sick person who hopes for healing is going to stay sick. If you ever are working with a sick person and you hear that H word, you tell them to stop. It's time to stop hoping. You need to pretend you're Abraham and believe. It's time to believe. That's how you do it. So let us change hope into faith or into believing like Abraham did. Then life will become a success. We need to learn to stand by the confession of what God has promised us. That's what we need to do. Of what the Word says about me, that is true. That's what we need to do. I've taught you, don't curse yourself. Bless your life. Don't say things that are negative about you. Say things that are positive. Every negative thing out of your mouth curses you. Or somebody else. Don't do it. If God spoke the world into existence by words and gave you the same ability to speak words, I guarantee you, your words have the same power as His. And if you speak His word, it's just like Him speaking. Just like it. And so if you understand the importance of confessing what He says about you to be a success, it will take you light years into the future. You won't know yourself in a few days, a few weeks. So you stand by your prayers when you have used His word on your lips. You put His word on your lips. That's what you're supposed to do. You don't go back on the spoken word from your own lips. This is how you deal with that wavering, that unstable, unbelieving thing. You spoke the word, and it was just as if He had spoken it. That's what you have to believe. This is how you enter into that spiritual realm and grasp believing. Ephesians chapter 3, this is becoming one of my most favorite verses. Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 3 we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, we don't know what that means. But I want to tell you, He's given it all. He's already given you everything. All spiritual blessings. There is nothing that He has not already given you. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He hath blessed us. The buffet table set. You've been given all the gift cards. Now it's time for you to take. And you got to get rid of that measly, beggarly attitude that I can't just take it. I've got to go through this prayer thing. I got to go through this begging thing. I got to go through this religious thing. I got to ask. I got to plead. He never says that. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now the mountain is not God. He just said, speak it. If thou canst believe, all things are possible, it says. He didn't say beg. We got to do something up here. We got to work it up here a little bit more. And we got to come up and say, look, folks, this is the way it is. He's already given it to me. I just need to go in and take it. And the way you take it is by reaching up and grasping the one and only possibility, the one and only entity, the one and only gift to you that gives substance to your dreams, that gives substance to your hopes, that gives substance to your desires, and that is believing. That's the only way you can do it. He's already given us all things. Now it's up to us to grasp them, to take them. You don't even need to ask God for them. All you have to do is tell Him what you're doing and use the name of Jesus Christ. You say to God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm taking this. Thank you. That's how you do it. The Bible says that you give thanks in all things, but it never tells you to beg. You give thanks in all things. If He's already given you everything, He's blessed you with everything in the heavenlies, what more is there for Him to give? It's really now up to you to start receiving. Maybe you don't like the word take. I don't know. It's got a harshness to it, I suppose. How about receive? How about get? How about capture your bounty? I don't know. Get what it is that you've been given. You can't deny that He's already given, right? You can't deny that. Well, you need to believe it then. Abraham somewhere had to believe, so shall thy seed be. And I think for years maybe he didn't. He hoped. But all of a sudden one day, and it took him almost 100 to where he was 100 years old, he finally believed. You don't like the word finally? I don't know. I don't think it happened in 30 seconds. I think that it took some time for him to get to that place. What about you? Maybe it's going to take you time to get to that place where you believe. Instead of hoping, the next time you want something, you try this. Get rid of that silly feeling that comes in. Oh, I hope that I get this. I know one day I'm going to have it. I know, I will. And then this emotion comes out and you go, yes, oh, okay, I've done my duty today, God, and I'll pray about it again tomorrow. Instead of doing that, instead of going through that, what I call almost spiritual nonsense, why not just say, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for what you've already given me. Thank you for the great health that I have. Thank you for the financial prosperity that I have. Thank you for that relationship that I've desired for so long. I believe now. And now substance will appear. And then the doubt tries to come in, you just cast it out like Abraham did. You get to the place where you're fully persuaded, like Abraham did. You get to the place where you glorify God, like Abraham did. You get to the place where it finally is imputed unto you, like Abraham did. That's what you do. Hey, I told you hope and believing are a combat. It's like a war. It's not going to be easy all the time. It's like a war. And so when you get right in the middle of it, when you finally decide like Abraham did, it's time, it's going to be like a battle, probably. You're going to have to grab your brain, probably. But that's okay. Because it's not that easy to be a believer. I mean, you're fulfilling a calling. You're a peculiar, special person. You're not the run-of-the-mill type. You don't fit into anything out there. You're God's kid. And so when you have to do God's things God's way to prove that you're God's kid, did I say something wrong? To prove that you're God's kid? Well, I thought I read something to you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the proof that it's yours before you have it. So when you decide today's the day, today, I'm going to prove my godliness. I'm going to believe. Well, you might be in for no small challenge. You might be wrestling with hope and faith. One's going to pin you down and the other's going to pin you down, and you're going to have to decide which one's going to keep you down and which one you're going to cast off. Now, Abraham had to do that. Abraham had to cast hope away. So maybe you will too. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't be a hoper. Be a believer. Believing is the creative element of God. And He's given it to you. I don't care what age you're at. You can reach out and grab this thing. And I've given you the steps. Hope paints the clouds at the setting of the sun and makes the dying day beautiful. Believing is a rugged thing. It's a creative force, and it's a dominating force. Hope can never create. Never. I feel like you're finally losing your grasp on some of that hope that you have, and maybe transitioning into wanting to believe. Hope cannot create. And its dominion is oftentimes dangerous. But believing's the builder. It's that construction worker I told you about. It's the engineer behind the scenes. It's the laborer. It's the worker. It's the energy behind. Whatever it takes to bring substance to your dreams, to bring substance to your hopes, to bring substance to your desires. You know that since knowledge believing has given us all of our great things today, all of our great financial institutions, it's been the strength of the man of the senses. I'm not talking about this spiritual law that I've mentioned. This since knowledge believing has made man the victor in the war of civilization, in fact. The greater believer has always won. And so man has been given a since knowledge believing, and it's wonderful. But it can't take you into the realm of God. Once you're a Christian, you've got to tap into His laws of believing, the ones He used. Believing that grows out of the Word, that grows out of that gift of Holy Spirit, that's the one that He's given to you that's beautiful and real. It's the one that's holy and makes everything that we have today actually worthwhile. It's brought us into personal contact with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And it will bring you all of your present day spiritual successes.